there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name's Cortland, and with me today is the dude that just loves butter. That's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey, I'm doing good, Cortland. How are you?
I'm doing good, Brandon. I think you'd do better once we get that that whole butter addiction sorted out, Brandon. I've got
people
on the way.
Butter anytime I want.
Mm. Yeah, that's what they all say, though. And then next thing you know, you're going to be throwing sticks of butter at kids, being like, there you go, champ. Have a good snack. Fucking
that's
crazy.
My favorite part of that episode.
I know, right? That's so funny. That kid's just like, butter. Ugh. And then later on, he's like, hum. That's crazy. Nobody eats butter like that. Not even Paula Deen. Not only Paula Deen probably did, but she's racist, so we can't talk about her.
Okay.
Oh, Brandon, how you been doing? It's been a whole ass week.
Oh, it has. One whole week since we've talked on a podcast.
How was Easter Sunday?
It's nice. Had some chocolate and ham.
Hide some eggs. Oh, ham. Yeah. I don't like ham, Brandon. You like ham?
Ham is good. What are you talking about? What is this?
I'm not a fan of the ham. I don't know. Not my favorite meat.
Okay. I've known you for almost a quarter of a century now.
I know.
And I'm just finding out that you don't like ham?
No. Like, we always had ham on Easter. And then when I married Kim, her family has ham, like, all the time, Brandon. They're like, oh, birthday ham dinner.
Oh,
and I'm just like, please no. They're like, we're making sandwiches. And I'm like, oh, is it PB&J? And they're like, nope, it's ham. And I'm like, oh, not ham. I like ham once a year. And that's it. Anything more than that is just too much ham for me.
It's a PB&H.
Can you imagine? Speaking of that, actually, my mom, speaking about my mom here, she actually puts peanut butter on her hamburgers. Did you know that?
No, I'm learning a lot today, Cortland.
Yeah, my family lore and mythos. Right. My mom eats ham. I mean, well, she probably does eat ham, but she eats hamburgers with peanut butter on them. And I thought that she did it just for like a shock value. But like, I think she really likes it.
Wow. I really would be curious to know how that started. Like the first time you're sitting right there with a hamburger and you're thinking, you know what this needs? Peanuts.
It could have only been a dare, right? Like, why else would you do that? My mom crazy. I don't enjoy peanut butter on my hamburgers. I mean, granted, I've never tried it, so maybe my mom is onto something, but I don't think so. That's just weird.
I don't know. Maybe we're the fools, and like, it's going to become a big TikTok trend, and then we're just going to look like more like old men than we already do.
No, you know, don't will that into existence, Brandon, because you know what's going to happen. There's like a restaurant that's near me that has peanut butter on a hamburger. So I don't know. It's a thing, probably. My mom is a trendsetter. You're welcome, world. I don't know. Brandon, did you do anything fun this week? I'm tired of talking about PB, you know?
No, I didn't. It rained.
Look, Brandon, you remember the last time it rained and it ruined your computer? That's not going to happen this time, is it?
I hope not. It started flooding here, and then it stopped raining. So,
oh, God. Man, your weather's ridiculous. Yeah, I swear though, Brandon, you're going to need to ziplock all of your things so that it can't get wet. Okay,
it'll find a way.
It always does. I don't think I did jack shit this weekend, Brandon, or this
that
week.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of nice.
Hold on, Cortland, our audio
is out of sync. I know. I can tell.
I might have to switch over to my 4G here.
Okay. Just let me know when you do that.
I'm going to switch over to my 5G.
Whoa. 5Gs. That causes
brain
cancer.
That's how serious I'm taking this. Look, I'm risking cancer for this podcast. The people better appreciate it.
I know. I think they do. Sometimes.
All right. Let's see. Mobile hotspot. Peter's just got to find it. Why believe I can fi? Good name. One of my neighbors. Very funny. You got any funny Wi-Fi names around you?
No, they only really have funny Wi-Fi names when you're in like an apartment complex.
Yeah. I don't know why I got so many around me.
I don't know. That's all jack shit internet. You guys need all of those routers to make one internet and have a Skype conversation.
All right, I might cut out for a sec. Hello?
Oh, hey, Brandon. How you doing, bro?
Hey, how's going back? All right, we can get this two for the show on the road.
Perfect. Brandon, do you want to talk about Tales from the Crypt, I suppose?
I do. That's the only reason I'm talking to you right now. Without Tales from the Crypt, like, I'd have nothing to do with you.
I know. Me too, Brandy.
What?
I was going to say Brandon and Buddy, and I combined them into one word.
Birdie?
Brady. All right, Brady.
All right.
I know, Brandon. Before I was already Afraid of the Dark, and then it was Goosebumps, and that's Tales from the Crypt. So, Brandon, we just got done watching two for the show. What did you think of this episode? How'd you feel about it?
I actually really liked it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you didn't like it, and I was going to be like, but Brandon, I kind of liked it. So that's a shame. Okay.
That would be interesting if one episode we had very different opinions, but we seem to be on the same page for most episodes.
We're like the same person. Oh, my God. There was one that I can remember, which was the Tale of the Laser Maze, where you were like, I fucking hated this episode. And I was like, I thought it was amazing.
That episode is not great, but the episode in 1 minute is maybe one of my favorite things I've ever seen. So that episode has brought me a lot of joy.
That episode in 1 minute. Yeah, that's the best thing I've ever like edited, I think.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, please watch it.
That's so good. It's on Instagram. I should probably put that on TikTok. But anyway, well, I'm glad that you like this episode because I enjoyed it myself. It has some fun stuff in it. You know, a lot of mystery and suspense in there. It's got some good gore. It's got some fun characters, too. I think it's like its whole package, Brandon.
Yeah, this is a kind of a different kind of story for Tales from the Crypt from what we've seen so far. This is more of like a Hitchcock style murder thriller.
Right.
It's not horror themed. There is a lot of gore, but I mean, it's mostly just like a lot of suspense and build up, and the plot is twisty. Let's say
it's like watching an idiot commit a crime and just like seeing him fail. I'm spoiling a little bit, so don't think about it too much, but yeah, it's just kind of fun. The setting is interesting. You know, we're going to be on a train, which I don't think we've had a train episode of anything in a while.
No.
Not since the beloved Train Magic, Brandon, have we been on a train, I believe.
Yeah, and this episode has that old train magic.
It sure does. It does. This is what they were talking about when they were talking about train magic. But you know what, Brandon? We've spoiled pretty much everything. Let's just get into it, shall we?
Okay, start from the top here.
Okay, well, our episode begins with the Crypt Keeper, and he's doing some stand-up comedy, Brandon. He does it all.
Yeah, some stand-up comedy, which is relevant for this episode. Well, wait, no, it's not.
I was gonna say, wait a second, Brandon. It was as relevant for this episode as football was for the last one.
Yeah, he just does whatever, and somehow he finds a way to tie it in.
Yeah, he could have been a train conductor, but nah. They were like, let's do this stand-up bit. I don't know what they're thinking, but you know what? It's fine. He's up on stage with a microphone, and he's got a ponytail, Brandon. He's always got that ponytail.
You gotta.
He's telling some jokes to a room full of skeletons. He starts things with a quick mic check by breathing into the microphone and then saying, I tell you, ladies and germs, that ghoul friend of mine makes me go crazy. She told me she thought she'd look good in something long and flowing, so I threw her in the Mississippi. There's this little drum snare that plays, Brandon, which I love. And then he gives the crowd the look of like, but nobody laughs.
No, nobody laughs. And I was just like waiting there, ready to groan as soon as he said like, oh, this audience is dead. But he never does.
No, but they don't laugh because they're skeletons, because they're all dead. So
they are dead.
So he's all, well, how about that Ernest Hemingway, Brandon? Always shooting his mouth off. And I don't get that joke, but...
Well, you see, Ernest Hemingway murdered himself by shooting himself in the face with a shotgun.
Oh. I kind of thought that's what it was going for.
So you see, it's funny because...
Right. Well, I think the kids call that unaliving yourself these days, Brandon.
Yeah, I refuse to take part in that.
Okay, that's fair. But Brandon, that just gives crickets from the audience because apparently they don't get the joke either. So, Crypty adjusts his tie going, oh, then asks, hello, anybody? I know you're out there, folks. I can hear you bleeding, which I think is funny because I love when nobody talks on an online game. I'm like, hello, I can hear you bleeding. And it's great. Cracks everybody up every time. I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
He taps his mic, wondering aloud if this thing is on. And he says, I know that what this crowd wants, a little slay on words. And we pan across the crowd, who doesn't want anything, because they're skeletons, and Crypti offers up a couple of nasty fright gags. We hear a heckler call out, "Go get a life."
Who said that?
I don't know. None of them. Crypti continues saying, "How about something like tonight's nasty nugget? It's a little tale about marriage, or if you prefer, about wife and death." He calls it two for the show. And we take a look at the picture for this one, and there's a woman in the foreground getting strangled because there's a man behind her with his hand clutching her throat. Also, she's got a pair of scissors in her hands, like she's about to fight back. It's overall pretty basic, I think.
It's certainly a scene that happens in the episode.
That's, yeah.
The best you can say for this, I guess.
I would assume that there's something better they could have chosen for this episode, but that's okay. This is one of those ones where, like, spoilers, the scene that they show is, like, very early in the episode.
Yeah. It should have had a train on the cover.
Yeah, fucking choo-choo, right? That would have been awesome. We fade into the episode and take a look at a plate of food. There's a woman's hand with a fork, and she's just kind of, like, playing with her food, moving it around on her plate.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good.
No, it doesn't. It's like some rice and maybe a potato or two.
Yeah, it's but just it's all like very dry.
Very dry, very beige. It kind of looks like you'd get it in like a school lunchroom cafeteria or something.
Oh, don't say that. School lunchroom cafeteria food is delicious.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be better than this shit. We cut over to the man's plate where everything gets even worse because he is cutting into the rawest meat I have ever seen on a plate.
I don't think that steak has even touched any kind of heat at all.
It's fucking gross, Brandon. I'm pretty sure that's a foodborne illness right there. Like, I know you can eat raw meat, but, like, I don't know.
I like my steaks pretty rare. But this is just disgusting.
It's bad. And it doesn't look good. And this guy's just smacking his lips, eating it. And he's like, "Oh, shit's delicious."
Yeah, he's loving it.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest acting that this episode has. He's telling this story, though, that, like, is very uninteresting. It's all about his job and how he's going to fight somebody on the board of directors and blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't actually matter. He's basically
I don't even know what he does, but you just get the gist that he's got some kind of power position and he's into his work.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically just saying, like, this dude's boring. The scene is boring, and you should be bored along with the wife character.
Yes, it's very good at delivering the feeling of both of these characters. Because she is like, and at this point, while he's talking, like, you only see both of their hands.
Yeah.
So you see the guy's hands. He's chomping into that steak. He's cutting it up real fast, and she is just like, her hands aren't moving. She could not give even a little bit of a shit about what this guy's saying.
Right.
And her food is disgusting.
It's overall a situation I would not want to be in. Yeah, on either side, honestly.
I agree with you.
The dude... Okay, I love my notes here, Brandon. The dude finishes up his mooing steak saying that this is real good. And he goes to take another piece from a tray because they're doing, like, you know, family style dinners, like, where everything's just in the middle and you can just take what you want. He smiles, saying, "You should have seen the look on his face." But we look at her face instead, and she looks pissed as hell. Like, she fucking hates this. The man, his name is Andy, tells his wife Emma that there's a cocktail party this Saturday, and he knows that she hates those weekend things, but this one's real important. Emma snaps that she has something to say to him, and Andy, he's not really listening, so he tells Emma that she needs to try harder to be more social. She then tells him that she's just going to leave him. And Andy doesn't really hear that. He goes on about the party, saying that he'll make her a list of things that she could talk about. Then he stops asking, "Wait, what'd you say?" And Emma tells him again that she is leaving him. She wants a divorce, Brandon.
Yeah.
I can see why. He eats the grossest shit, makes terrible dinners, and is boring. I get it, Emma. I'm with you, girl.
Yeah. More power to her. Anyone who eat at that steak, I wouldn't want their lips anywhere near me.
Mm-mm. You'd get hepatitis C just from the lips, Brandon, yeah. So Emma explains that all he thinks about is work and how she wants some passion in her life.
"I want hot sex on a white sand beach. I want to have a little fun and adventure while I'm still young enough to enjoy it."
And he's all, "Okay, what's this really about? What, you want me to increase your allowance? Is that it?" And Emma stands up. She throws her napkin on their long as hell table, yelling, "I don't want money, Andy. I want out. You want to know the truth? I've been having an affair. I'm in love, and I can't tell you how great it feels. We're running away together, and there's nothing you can do about it." And then she turns around and stomps away. And we stay with Andy for a second, and he stands up. And then we pop over to a hallway where Emma is walking into her room. Andy's right behind her, asking, "Who is it? I want a name." But Emma tells him that he doesn't even know the dude. And why does he want the name anyway? What are you going to do? Squash him like an insect? "You're not the man I married, Andy. And if you was, I didn't know it at the time. But enough of this. The thought of spending the rest of my life with you is just too damn depressing. If anyone wants me, I'll be in Chicago." And then she walks away. I love Chicago, Brandon. I don't blame her for wanting to go to Chicago. It's a pretty great place. I've they got ramen. Once. They got ramen shops like all over the place. I had ramen like 3 times when I went there. I love ramen. You gonna get on that train to go to Chicago too, Wayne?
I'm going right now. Getting on the train from Australia to Chicago.
Yeah, that'll only take like a week if it was possible. Actually, it'd probably take longer than that. Andy follows her to the mirror as she continues packing up her shit, saying, "Come on, you gotta work with me here, okay?" Emma's had enough, saying that she ain't negotiating with him. She doesn't want anything except a life. And she turns to move, but Andy grabs her, asking, "So what are you going to do? Just walk out on me?" And she tosses his hand aside, saying, "The way I see it, you walked out on me years ago. When was the last time we made love? Do you even remember?" And she goes to bed to continue packing up. And she goes to the bed. And she doesn't go to bed. To continue packing up, and Andy yells,
"Don't do this to me, Emma. You know what kind of schmuck I'm going to look like."
And Emma's all, "I know." And Emma's all, "Oh, that's what really bothers you, isn't it, huh? Well, let me put your mind to rest. You already look like a schmuck because you are a schmuck."
Schmuck, schmuck, schmuck.
Schmucky, schmuck, schmuck. Brandon, what's a... what is your opinion of a schmuck? Who's a schmuck to you?
Who's a schmuck?
Yeah, give me a name. I want to know. Is it me? It's not me.
Tim Schmatsky.
Ugh, that schmuck. Ugh.
Yeah, that schmuck.
She zips up her suitcase, Brandon, and she goes to leave. But Andy reaches out and starts strangling her, yelling, "Schmuck? Oh, I'll show you, schmuck." So a schmuck is a strangler, Brandon. That's what I learned.
Yeah, that's the definition. Someone who strangles.
He pushes her against a lamp or something, and then that shatters on the ground, and then pushes her to the bed and strangles her some more. And we see Emma reach into her bag for a pair of scissors, and she swipes Andy across the face. And then we see a ring fall to the ground as Andy calls her a bitch. He grabs her again as she screams, and now we're looking at the scene from, like, the cover of this episode, Brandon. We got the scissors, we got the strangle. It's right there in, like, my fourth paragraph. Boom. Andy's got his arms wrapped around her neck, and Emma's got them scissors in her hands, and he fights with her a little more until Andy grabs her arm and makes her stab herself in the tummy with those scissors. And her scream fades to the ringing of a rotary phone, which gets picked up by a police officer who answers it. And he asks the person, "Oh, are you sure it was a scream?" And he sits down, and we see that there's another police officer sitting at the table, and that one is arguing with somebody over the phone, yelling, "To hell with me? No, to hell with you!" And he slams the phone down. That original officer is still, like, asking if the person on the other end is sure it was a scream and, you know, doing his job and stuff. Then he gets the address for the apartment they heard it from, saying, "Oh, okay, the Conways? Great, I'll send somebody over," and he hangs that phone up. And then the man says, "Shit, and here I thought I was going to do some paperwork tonight. Damn."
No one's excited to do some paperwork.
Right?
I've never been a police officer, but...
What?
If I were, I would just keep putting paperwork off forever.
Yeah, me too. I guess one of those things, like, you have to get it done at some point, you know, probably to go home and stuff, so I get it. But it's like, he was excited for that paperwork.
Yeah, he was like, "Damn it. Well, luckily I'll get to do twice the paperwork tomorrow."
The man stands up and addresses Officer Fine, which is the one on the phone, saying, "Hey, can you and your wife argue a little quieter next time?" Fine is all, "Yeah, sure, but what was that call?" The first officer explains it was a complaint of a scream, and then the person heard nothing. Officer Fine, I'm just going to, like, periodically just refer to him as Fine. He's fine.
Yeah, he is.
I know, right? He's a looker. Fine is all, "Did you say Conway, by the way?" And Conway at Wood Glen in Unit 402. And the first officer picks up the paper where he wrote that shit down, saying, "Yeah, I sure did. Do you know him?" And Officer Fine shakes his head, saying, "Nah, I don't think so." Then he grabs the paper and goes to walk away, saying that he wants to check it out and see this dude. And the first officer asks him, but wait, why are you working so hard? You were supposed to be off an hour ago. And also, ain't you going on vacation tomorrow with your wife? Officer Fine puts his coat on, saying,
I said I was going fishing. I didn't say anything about taking my wife.
And he opens up the door, and he leaves.
So, Officer Fine is not very fond of his wife, we can guess.
Nah, he's not. They were arguing on the phone and everything, Brandon. It's a tumultuous relationship.
Yes, so we've got a couple of people in here that aren't very happy in their marriages.
I suppose not. Andy's just kind of oblivious to everything, though.
Wonder if that's a coincidence.
I doubt it. It probably won't even come back up. Over with Andy, he's struggling to put Emma's body into a trunk because it just won't fit. I know.
It's silly. We see him try to stuff it in there, like, cartoonishly.
Yeah, and it's like this dummy thing. So, like, he pushes it down and it just, like, pops right back up because it's, like, made of plastic and stuff. It looks hilarious. Mm-hmm. But we hear a knock on his front door, and it's Officer Fine who calls out, open up, this is a police department. And Andy's all, okay, give me one sec. And he runs over to his bedroom where dead Emma is just chilling in the trunk, and there's a big blood stain on his carpet. So we snap to a moment later, and Andy's got a robe on, and he's closing the bathroom door. He ties up his robe, he walks over to the front door, and he opens that shit up. He looks at the officer, who says, I'm Officer Fine, and we got a call that somebody heard a scream. Mind if I come in? And Andy says, oh, no, come on in. So Officer Fine does. He comes in, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Fine passes by Andy as Andy asks, a scream, huh? Wow. Fine asks him if his wife is here, and he says, nope, she left. Actually, she left for good. We had an argument, which is probably what my neighbor... which neighbor is it that you said? And Fine is all, did she... Because he's... I don't know why it matters what his neighbor... Who his neighbor. Fine is all, did she go to a friend's house? Somewhere we can meet her? And Andy tells him, nope, she's on her way to Chicago. She's got family there. Look, officer, you know how it is. We had a fight. It got loud. She packed up her bag and she left. And Fine looks at Andy's face and sees the cut he got from the scissors. And he asks, hey, what's up with that shit? And Andy touches it, saying, oh, I cut myself shaving. Yeah, that's it. Shaving.
He practically does say that. Like, this whole episode kind of is just him very badly lying about things.
It's kind of a beautiful thing, Brandon.
I love it.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite. Well, I like a lot of this episode, but him lying and just, like, stumbling through it, it reminds me of, like, when kids lie, and it's great. I think it was probably the direction that they wanted for this character, and I think he executed it really well.
Yeah, really well done.
And then you got Officer Fine, who I also really like, too. He's got a little bit of an accent going, like a little kind of, like, southern accent going. That's great, too. He's a good actor. Fine is all, mind if I look around? And then start looking around as Andy is all, sure, go for it.
What's he going to say?
You mad? No, you can't. You need to leave now.
Yeah, I have a dead wife in here. Could you please go?
Yeah, she is currently, like, going through rigor mortis, so you got to go. We head over to the bedroom where there's, like, a little rug that's covering the blood stain on the carpet, and the trunk is closed up. Fine takes one look at that trunk and sees there's a blood stain on it. And Andy sees that. He's seeing that. And he's saying, see? What did I just put in here? Let me just read what I said here.
Okay.
Andy sees that he sees that saying, see? Okay, no, I get it now. I get it. It's right. Okay.
It makes sense, but it's like...
Andy sees that, he sees that, saying, see, I totally cut myself shaving, and we kept the towels in the trunk. Fine opens up that trunk, and there are indeed just some towels in there, so he's all, oh, okay. And then he takes another look at the ground, and he sees the ring that dropped, so he picks it up, saying, huh, Marysville High. You go to high school around here? And Andy says, nope. So Fine asks if his wife went to school around here, and he says, no, we moved here from Chicago like 5 years ago. So Fine stands up and hands the ring to Andy, who thanks him. And it's, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, who puts your towels all the way in this stupid trunk? Like,
no one does that.
It's stupid.
But I liked how Fine, like, opened that trunk expecting to see a dead body. Like, he opens it very, yeah, like very quickly, like, da-na!
Mm-hmm.
And then it's towels.
It's just towels. even though, like, her body, she got stabbed with scissors. There's blood everywhere on the carpet. You would think that some of that blood would transfer to that towel chest, but yeah. No.
I've also never stabbed someone. This episode is filled with a lot of things that I don't have a lot of context for. But I would imagine that, like, when you stab someone, it doesn't just make, like, one little blood spurt that comes out and then that's it.
Nah. They do mention, you know, they mention it in the episode because, like, later on, you know, we get Officer Fine and Andy, and they interact a lot in this episode. And he's like, he talks about how, like, stabbing somebody would cause a lot of blood splurts everywhere. And, you know, they have crime scene investigators that will, like, look at blood splatters, and they can deduce how far away it was, how much people were, like, yanking the thing up and stabbing again due to the blood splatter. Like, there's a lot of science that goes into that stuff. So, yeah, there would have been more blood. Mm-hmm. We snap over to the bathroom where there's a bubble bath, Brandon, in the bathtub. And also there's a dead body in there of Emma, and it's all covered up in bubbles except for her face. So,
yeah, but you'd still see it.
It's great. I like it. So the cop walks in and he doesn't notice that there's a body somehow. And Andy quickly swoops in. He turns the water off and starts covering Emma's face with bubbles, saying that bubble baths are just so damn relaxing, especially after a hard day's work. That's enough exploring for Officer Fine, though, Brandon. So he starts walking out saying, when your wife gets to Chicago, we'd like to have her give us a call. And Andy's all, you got it, sir, the minute I hear from her. Fine thanks Andy and is about to leave, but he turns around saying, when the other guys get here. And Andy's all, whoa, the other guys? And Fine tells him, yeah, I mean, standard procedure bullshit, but tell the dudes I was already here. And of course, you know, they'll probably want to take a look around for themselves. After all, that's what we pay them for. Anyway, see ya. He leaves.
All right. If, like, this call at this point is just a, like, domestic situation. Someone heard a scream. Like, it's not the kind of thing they would send multiple teams of police officers for.
No, I think that Officer Fine knows that, and he's just kind of like, I mean, obviously Andy's acting weird, right? So I think he's certainly just trying to, like, razzle him some more into action. It's all part of the plan, Brandon. It's all part of the plan. Andy closes the door, and then it cuts over to him in the bathroom using an electric knife to cut Emma's body into a million pieces.
And oh my god, dude.
Blood everywhere.
So this man just heard from this police officer, like, hey, another team of police is going to come soon and just have a look around. And so his first thought is to chop this body up and spray blood literally everywhere.
Yeah, this bathroom is coated in just a layer of blood everywhere. Yeah, he's a dum-dum. As I say that, yeah.
Yeah, this guy is so bad at doing murders. Now, I haven't committed any murders.
That's good.
So I don't know the right way to do it, but I know this is the wrong way.
Yeah, there's a lot of wrong in this episode, I will say. He tosses the hands, the feet, just pretty much everything into that trunk from before. And then he grabs a hacksaw and he cuts off Emma's head. And he lifts it up saying,
looks like you'll be making that trip to Chicago after all, honey.
Just one little final zing to her.
That's fun.
Got her. I know. My favorite part about this is that he doesn't, like, line the trunk with plastic or anything. He just, like, plops it right in there. So I feel like it would stink and there'd be blood goo pretty much everywhere. It's awful. He's a dumbass.
Yeah.
We warp over to the train station where Andy is pulling that big trunk to the baggage area, and a man hands somebody a ticket for his baggage, and the camera pans up to see that it's Officer Fine. And Fine takes a look over and he sees Andy pulling that trunk over to the baggage check. But Andy doesn't see Officer Fine looking at him, right? The man at the baggage area hands him a paper telling him to fill it out. So Andy looks at it and then he hands it back. So I don't know if he actually filled it out. Turns out he doesn't. And the dude tells him, okay, have a nice trip. And Andy goes to walk away to his train, but Officer Fine stops him saying, Mr. Conway. So Andy stops and he turns around to look at him. And Fine is all, it's me. It's Officer Fine. I was at your apartment yesterday. And Andy's all, oh, right. I didn't recognize you. And Fine chuckles saying, yeah, that's the point. Doing some undercover work and all that. Then he asks Andy if he's going somewhere. And Andy tells him, yeah, but they're interrupted by the baggage guy telling Andy that he forgot to fill out his name and address on the trunk. So
silly,
like, he's got to do that, right?
He didn't even try to pretend like he was filling out that information. The guy's like, here, put your name and address here. And Andy just sits there with the pen floating above the paper, not moving it at all, and then hands it right back.
I don't. He's very nervous.
I would have put a fake name. It would have been very easy to write. anything.
Right. I don't know why he doesn't do that, but, you know, he's under pressure and things, so I don't know. He's just an idiot,
I guess.
This guy, though, this baggage guy is like, hey, you need to put your name and stuff on here, because if this shit gets lost, there is no possible way to track it back to him.
Which, like yeah, he's like, you could practically get away with murder if you didn't fill this out.
So, yeah, Andy fills out the paperwork with his name and numbers and digits and stuff, and the man smiles at him, takes the paper, and he hands it back over to the baggage claim guy. So he had an out, but he didn't take it.
No.
As Andy fills that out, he says, you know, Officer Fine, it's the funniest thing. The moment you left, my wife called, and she got to Chicago just fine, and we made up. So now I'm going to Chicago to meet her. Fine is all, aw, that's like a second honeymoon. And Andy smiles, saying, right. The baggage dude is all, okay, enough of this shit. It's time to board. So Officer Fine escorts Andy over to the train and watches as he gets on inside. And then he walks away. Inside the train, Andy goes and finds a seat and hunkers down, muttering, shit, that son of a bitch, you know, to himself. Then he looks over and he grabs like a map of the train stops, I think. We hear a voice tell him that the train gets to Chicago about 6 a.m. And Andy slowly lowers the map and sees Officer Fine sitting opposite to him. Fine giggles a little, saying, long time no see, yeah? And Andy swallows and asks, are you going to Chicago? And Fine says, yup, case I'm working on. I can't really talk about it. I can't tell you how much I like happy endings. I mean, in my line of work, things don't always turn out so good. You're a very lucky man. Oh, by the way, what did you and your wife fight about in the first place? And Andy's all, she said I didn't pay enough attention to her. And Fine raises his eyebrow, saying, is that right? My wife is the exact opposite. Thinks I pay too much attention to her, you know what I mean? And Andy, clearly uncomfortable, says, well, that's nice. If you have time, I guess. And Fine tells him, you know, you just got to make the time. Thing is, what's a guy supposed to do when their lady just isn't interested? And Andy doesn't know, asking, oh, what do you do? And finds all, I'm asking you because I don't know. I mean, maybe marriage is the problem. People can be together too long. Like, take me, for example. I've known my wife since high school. You know, can I tell you a personal question? I mean, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. It's not like you're under oath or anything. And Andy tells him, yeah, sure, whatever. And Fine leans in closer, saying,
let's say you're going to murder your wife. How would you do it?
That's a weird conversation.
Yeah, I'd be like, you need to leave.
At that point, it's like, all right, I'm going to go sit over here.
Yeah. I would get myself out of this situation. Like, if anybody came up to me and was like, hey, have you ever thought about murdering your wife? I'd be like, I'd put an earbud in or something. I don't know. I'd be like, get the fuck away from me. This part, though, Brandon, the screen flashes to earlier in the episode where Andy is actively murdering his wife.
Sure, sure. It's like, yes, that kind of reminds me of something that happened a little while ago.
And then we snap back to Andy, who says, I'm not a murderer. Fine's all, oh, come on now. You tell me you never thought about killing your wife? Everybody's doing it. Sorry. I'm just thinking about killing my wife. No, we all have. Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your train conductor. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to everything that we've got. We're so thankful for you spending some time with us. If you didn't know, Up All Night recently turned 5 years old, and to celebrate, we released a previously Patreon-exclusive episode that covers We're Back, A Dinosaur Story. We'd been teasing covering that movie for years now, and we figured now is probably a good time to finally talk about it. It's up now on the main podcast feed, and we really hope you enjoy. If you like the bonus episode, we have plenty more available over on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/privateisland. I've just uploaded our 41st Plot Points episode this morning, with new episodes of Plot Points just about every Monday. We've also got behind-the-scenes bloopers and videos, full-length episodes, and so much more. We have tiers starting as low as $1 a month, where you can get access to early release episodes the moment that I finish editing them. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, the best, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, Red, Magical, Faith, and Chain, the Goths, Stephen, Matt, Aaron, Brittany, Sid, and Corey, the citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and you boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. I've been posting quite a bit over on social media, so I hope you take a look and you give us a follow. You can find us on Twitter at UANPod, on Instagram at Up All Night Podcast, on YouTube at Up All Night HA Podcast, and on TikTok at Private Island Presents. We're closing in on 1,000 followers on TikTok, and I'd love to use that platform to cross-stream some gaming content. Speaking of which, you can hang out with me live on Twitch at twitch.tv/PrivateIslandC. Lately, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft with my wife, who's been a guest on the show before. But I also do dabble in Stardew Valley and Dead by Daylight, so there's a little something for everybody. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Thanks again for listening in. For now, I'll let you get back to the episode. I will talk with you next week. Bye, everybody. Then he leans in and he smacks Andy's thigh, telling him to lighten up. And guess what? I'm going to tell you how you'd kill your wife. How about that? You don't look like a shooter, and you're not in the stabbing types, which is a bad idea anyway, by the way, from a cop's point of view. I mean, that blood just splatters everywhere. It gets in all the strangest places you wouldn't even think of when you're trying to clean it up. And we get another little, like, cutback of Andy running into his bedroom where there's that blood spot on the carpet. So, like, he's like, oh, yeah, I did stab her, and there was a weird blood splatter. Back to Andy. He's all, look, I love my wife, but Vine ain't listening. He gets up and he sits right next to Andy saying, I got it. I think you'd strangle your wife to death with your bare hands. And then we cut to a moment where Emma is getting strangled by Andy with his bare hands.
Yeah. Okay, so at this point, it's like it's clear, even if you already suspected before, that Officer Fine knows what's going on.
He definitely does.
He's figured it out and he's just playing with Andy. But watching it, you're just thinking like, okay, so he knows, but what the fuck is he doing?
Just getting in Andy's brain, Brandon.
Like, where in the police procedural manual is get on a train to go to Chicago and fuck with this guy the whole way?
He just likes it. He just likes doing this. Okay. It's a game. It's like a little cat and mouse game, you know? He's trying to make him crack or something. But if you watch the episode, that doesn't really make much sense. Well, no. I don't know. We'll talk about it in a little bit. I don't want to spoil anything.
We'll get there.
Fine gets really close to Andy's face here. And he's got these wide eyes saying, yeah, you strangled her in a moment of rage. Am I getting warmer? He is getting warmer. So Andy's all, you know what? I haven't had a thing to eat today, so if you'll excuse me. And then he gets up and he walks away to another train car. Fine calls after him saying that he'll keep an eye on the seat for him. He's such a nice guy. Over in the dining car, a woman gets up out of her seat because she's finished with her supper, Brandon. And I put supper in there on purpose.
Why?
Because I'm a monster. And we pan over to Andy sitting there, not touching a bite of his train food, when suddenly up walks a figure. And of course, it's Officer Fine, who comments that, hot damn, that shit looks delicious. What is it, meatloaf? It's not meatloaf. We already saw a meatloaf in another episode here, Officer Fine.
Yeah, and he looked delicious.
Oh, right? He was looking good. Andy looks up staring and Fine sets down his coat and takes a seat saying, man, it's funny, but when you said Yuse was getting something to eat, I got all hungry all of a sudden, which is super weird because I usually get travel sick. I end up throwing everything up, but damn, that smells so good. You mind if I taste a little bit? And then without Andy even saying anything, Officer Fine just grabs a fork and he starts eating Andy's food.
This is the most outrageous part of the whole episode.
It's so funny. He's like, hey, can I have some of that? As he's getting some of that. He starts chewing it, being all like,
that is good.
I think I'm going to have that. Unless you're not going to eat yours. Andy, like, silently passes the plate over and Fine is all, aw, thanks, dog. Man, I don't know why I'm so chatty with you. It's strange, but I feel like we have a lot in common. Andy here is just, like, staring at Fine. So Fine's all, what's wrong? You look a little pale. Then Fine looks down at the food asking, how much of this did you eat? And Andy's all, I'm fine. And then Officer Fine changes the subject, saying, hey, you see that guy over there? And Andy turns around to look at an older gentleman enjoying his dinner. Fine tells him, look, you think he's the kind of guy that runs $5 million of drugs? And Andy turns back saying, drugs? What? And Fine goes on saying, you see, the airlines ain't safe anymore. They got all the metal detectors and shit, all that fancy shit, you know, Brandon?
Mm-hmm.
So now these guys run drugs on the rails. That guy, this train, that's the case I'm working on.
Oh,
I know, right? Andy asks, really? That's what you've been working on? Fine's all, yup. That's what all the hubba's been. And Andy smiles and lets out a giggle. And Fine asks him, what's so funny? And Andy tells him, It's just so, like, running drugs on a train, it just seems so stupid.
Fine's not saying any of this stuff quietly either. So nope. That guy who's one table away, well, he's like, I'm investigating that guy for smuggling drugs. That guy could just be like, excuse me, what?
I know. I know. It's great. But he doesn't, Brandon. He has horrible hearing. He can't hear any conversations around him. Andy gets his appetite back, though, Brandon, because now he's going to town on that meatloaf. Andy, with a mouthful, asks, so, how long you been working on this? And Fine tells him, like, oh, super long time. But today's the big day, because what that guy doesn't know is that there's a whole bunch of FBI agents that are going to be getting on in Peoria, Brandon. I don't know where Peoria is, but whatever. And he says,
FBI? Really?
And Fine tells him that the FBI are going to go through the train inch by inch before they get to Chicago. Every car, every nook and cranny, every bag. And Andy here, he's chewing his food, and he stops as Fine says, it took them weeks to get the goddamn search warrants. And Andy asks, wait, all the bags? And Fine reiterates, yeah, all the bags. Then he checks his watch saying, T-minus 22 minutes and counting. Andy stares at him and he says, you know, I think there is something wrong with this meatloaf. I gotta go get some air. Excuse me. And he stands up and he walks away. And Fine stares after him as we pop over to the baggage car. And we see that Andy's looking around until he spots his trunk, as well as another very similar to his trunk there, right?
Sure.
So he grabs a tag off of the second trunk and he pockets it. And then he unties his tag and he puts it on the other trunk. With that, he grabs his original trunk with Emma's dead body stuffed inside. And he starts dragging it to the door of the train. He opens that up. He tosses that shit overboard. And then he throws his tag out, too. And then he closes the door. So it's, you know, on the track somewhere, I guess.
It's so dumb. All right. So this trunk would be found, I'm guessing, pretty soon. Because he just dumped it off on the track somewhere. And someone's going to be like, oh, look, there's this suitcase that probably popped open, even. There's a dead body inside. It'll get identified as his wife. It'll be like, oh, it must have been thrown from this train. Oh, the husband was on the train.
Yeah. You know, he took it literally when that guy was like, if there's not a slip on this thing, like, nobody will ever know about it.
Yeah.
It's stupid, Brandon.
It is stupid. He's stupid.
He is stupid. And it's fun to watch him be stupid, you know?
Yes. You just want him to make better decisions, but he refuses.
Yeah. Well, he's a dirtbag, Brandon.
Well, or no. Do I want him to make better decisions? No. I just think, like, man, this is so easy to not be this bad at this.
Well, yeah. Like I said, this episode is all just watching Andy make the stupidest decisions at the stupidest time and think he's like a slick guy getting away with murder. That's kind of the fun of the episode. Over with Fine, he's smelling a little cup of wine, and he looks up and asks Andy if he's okay. And he tells him, yep, it's just like I told you, I just need a little bit of air. And he takes a seat across from Fine. Fine checks his watch, saying, all right, here we go, right on time. And he hands Andy a cup of wine, saying, hey, can I tell you something? You made a real bad mistake with the ring.
Uh-oh.
Andy swallows that wine hard with a stupid look on his face, asking, the ring? And Fine's all, yeah, that high school ring? I mean, it might be a little different for you, you know, you big city types. But out here, high school rings still mean something. Then Fine lifts up his hand to show off his very own high school ring, saying, Marysville High, class of 77. I still wear it with pride. And when I give these rings to somebody, it means something. You see, I think somebody gave that ring to your wife. And I don't buy for a second that she'd leave it behind. Andy looks at him, saying,
you're the guy that's been having an affair with my wife.
Oh my god, what a twist.
I know, right? Fine asks, what exactly are we going to find when we open up your trunk? And we pan to Andy, because like this part of the episode, like the camera quick pans over to Fine, and then it quick pans over to Andy during this conversation. So we pan to Andy saying, you ain't going to find anything. Over to Fine, he's all, I doubt that. Then back to Andy telling Fine to go to hell. Then asks, you want to see what's in my trunk? Come on, buddy, I'll show you. And we zip back over to Fine, who says, fine.
fine.
I love that song. Mayor J. Blige, Brandon. We warp over to the cargo car, and Andy walks in with Fine and another officer. And Andy asks, these the FBI guys? And Fine tells him, oh, no, I lied about that. And Andy's all, oh, okay. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to break your heart. Fine looks down at the new trunk with Andy's tag saying, okay, prove it. That's your trunk, isn't it? And Andy's all, yeah, it's totally my trunk. And that's the ID card that I filled out. Fine even saw me fill that shit out right then and there. Then Andy goes down and he moves some stuff aside and he starts popping open the trunk, but it's locked. So Andy's all like, you know, I don't even remember where I put the key for this one. But Fine motions to the other officer, telling to open that shit up. So the officer is all, okay. And he kneels down and he pops open the lock, like, without even trying. So I guess trunk locks are the worst. And he pops it open and Andy tells him, thanks. And he opens the trunk up. And we get this shot of the camera inside the trunk looking up at Andy. And we see that Andy's smile just fades away completely. And then we get a look inside the trunk. And it's lined with plastic. And there's a woman in pieces inside. And Andy's all, what? What's this?
An accurate, an appropriate reaction.
Yeah. He's just like, what? Woman pieces.
I thought for a second it would be like, I don't know, like women's dresses and makeup or something. And he'd be like, oh, I have to explain this in a quirky way. But no, it's actually just a torn up woman.
Yeah. Fine tells him, huh? Dead body hacked to pieces in your trunk? Seems pretty clear to me. Andy looks it over saying, wait, that's not my wife. This isn't my trunk. I threw mine off the train. Fine tells Andy that he's full of shit and that Andy was with him the whole time and he never left his sight. And Andy starts telling the officer that Officer Fine is lying and then looks at Fine telling him to tell the other officer about the affair he's been having with his wife. And about the ring he gave her and all that stuff. And finds all, oh, that ring under your bed was a woman's ring. It was my wife's. My wife gave it to your wife when they started seeing each other. That's my wife in your trunk, like you don't know. Admit it. And he pushes Andy against the cage of the baggage area. And he yells, you found your wife was leaving you for another woman and you went berserk. You decided to get some revenge and that's why you murdered my wife, isn't it? Man, the plot twists in this one, Brandon.
Yeah, so did you see this coming at all?
No. I kind of had a little bit of a suspicion on it, but no. I don't think so.
Okay, so I thought I was a genius and figured out the plot twist right away. I was like, as soon as Officer Fine was on his phone fighting with his wife, I was like, okay, this is the guy that Andy's wife is having an affair with. And yeah. I was like, man, I picked that up early. I am so smart. and once Andy, like, quote unquote, figures that out, I was like, come on, buddy, keep up. Like,
yes.
I thought that was the twist. And I got to say, I was quite thrown that the twist is even twistier than that.
I like it a lot. I thought maybe when he opened it up, it would be those drugs that he talked about, which was a complete fabrication. There were no drugs. So I thought maybe he was just going to get him on like that kind of a charge. But it goes like two steps further. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty well done.
I mean, it's still stupid and it wouldn't make sense in any other setting. But a Tales from the Crypt episode, because there's so many things that can go wrong, but it all just goes right for Fine. He gets everything he wants in the end.
You have to ignore the fact that Officer Fine's entire plan hinges on the fact that when Andy sneaks away to remove his trunk, that he's going to put his tag on Officer Fine's trunk and not literally any other trunk.
There's a lot of guesswork and taking really big chances, but it works out exactly like he was hoping it would. It works out
because that's what the screenplay says it does.
Right, right. And, you know, it makes a little sense that Officer Fine is sitting there kind of like heckling him on stuff, like putting those seeds in his mind that like, hey, you got to do something about this right now or else you're going to go to prison, which it works. It works for him.
He plays Andy like a fiddle and Andy's just dumb enough to go along with everything.
Exactly. So Andy screams out, no, it's not true. And Fine yells back, oh, so what? You're saying you didn't kill anybody? And Andy tells him, no, I mean, I killed my wife.
I love that. After all that he's gone through, he couldn't have just been like, no, I didn't kill her. Like,
nope.
No. But he's just like, idiot. Oh, I mean, I killed my wife, but like, that's not a crime.
I killed my wife, but not your wife.
You can't kill another man's wife. That's illegal.
So Fine screams, well, then where's her body? And Andy confesses to having thrown it off of the train. So Fine screams, you saying you killed them both? And Andy tells him, no, no way. Fine's had enough, though, Brandon. He's calling Andy a lying sack of shit, and now he's getting all of his stories mixed up, and he better get them straight, because juries have a habit of frying murderers, and he killed his wife, and that's a fact. So he pushes Andy over to a couple of officers, saying, book them, boys, and Andy tells Fine that he set him up. The officer that opened up the trunk thinks Andy is a crazy son of a bitch and wonders if Andy killed them both. And Fine is all, nah, his wife left him. She was on a flight to Cancun just this morning. We already checked it out. And the officer then makes some small talk, saying, man, I wonder what's worse, finding out your wife's been cheating on you or finding out somebody else killed her. And that seems very unmindful of Fine's potential feelings for finding out that his wife is dead and in a trunk.
Yeah, no one else knows that he hates his wife. So badly, he murdered her.
Yeah. He's very unbothered by the fact that he just found his wife dead, but Fine's all, well, I think both of those things suck. And the officer offers to help Fine get home or something, but Fine tells him, nah, I think I'm just going to rent a car. I got to take some time to myself, you know.
Life can be such a grind.
We cut away later, and we see Fine is grabbing the severed arm of Emma out of Andy's trunk, and he's in the kitchen, and he's got an apron on that says, don't mess with the chef. And he's reading a newspaper with the headline about how Andy killed his wife's lover in a bizarre love triangle. So I guess a little bit of time has passed. He mindlessly puts that hand into the garbage disposal, and the hand is giving it the middle finger, which is a funny touch.
Yeah. So he went back to get rid of this evidence, which wouldn't, like, it wouldn't point to him in any way, right? Other than the fact that he was like, oh, she's in wherever he said she was.
Right. But the thing is that he confessed to having thrown her out of the train car. So wouldn't the first thing the officers do is go and check, like, where, like, the train tracks to see the, you know?
Yeah. Like, why did Fine go to cover for this when Andy confessed to the murder? So.
Right.
There's no reason for Fine to get rid of the evidence.
It seems like a very unnecessary step for him to be like, no, he didn't kill her. She's on a flight to Cancun. Like, no, he did, though. And you could just be like, I don't know. We need to check his trunk, man. Like,
yeah, you could just be like, man, he killed two people. This guy's crazy.
I know, but he doesn't. Because
and they both, like, they're both chopped up and in a suitcase. It's pretty easy to be like, okay, that's this guy's.
Yeah, that's how he does it.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't know why I did it.
It's all just for, like, this ending here where he's, like, disposing of the body by cramming it down the garbage disposal. So he tells Emma that she doesn't look half bad for somebody that was hacked up into pieces and thrown out of a train. And then he feeds it into the garbage disposal, which is probably, honestly, Brandon, the worst way you could ever, like, dispose of a human body. But whatever. That's the end.
I'm going to say, and again, I've never gotten rid of any kind of corpses in
garbage disposal.
But I don't think that they're powerful enough to chop up bone, but I don't know.
It can shrivel up mummy hearts, Brandon. We learned that in Goosebumps.
Well, that's just obvious. I think that might even be part of the reason why they were invented, but like human femurs, maybe not so much.
No, because he just, like, he feeds that arm right into the garbage disposal and just goes down like nothing. Like,
yeah, it's silent. Nothing. It's silent he's doing it. It's not like, nah, nah, nah.
It just silently gets sucked into a garbage disposal.
Yeah, it's just like, take care of this.
Over with the Crypt Keeper, he's still doing some stand-up. He says that Barney's my kind of guy. And I assume by Barney, he means Officer Fine. But they never say Barney at all, so I don't know. He comes up with a plan, but it's Andy that has to hatch it. He giggles because that was a good one, I guess. And he says, it's true what they say, better dead than wed. And there's a little drum snare. Nobody laughs, though, so he's all, time for my finish. And he pulls the pin out of a grenade, and he throws it into the audience. It explodes, and Crypty giggles. Then he says, now that's what I call bombing. Take my life, please. And then there's another drum snare, and he laughs us out of the episode, and that's the end.
All right.
What'd you think, Brandon?
Very good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought it was a fun episode.
I enjoyed it a lot.
It wasn't, like, my favorite, but there's a lot to really enjoy about this episode. Mostly the acting and the gore. The gore was great.
Yeah. I think when it comes time to rank this season, it's not going to be number one, but
no,
it'll be upper third.
Yeah, I think so. Did you learn anything, Brandon, from this episode?
Oh, I learned so much. I learned everything not to do.
Yeah, me too, Brandon.
When you murder your wife. which apparently we all think about. Like, I did not get the memo. I didn't get the memo, so maybe I'll start.
Well, you got to have a plan just in case, Brandon, I guess. I was going to ask you about that, but I was like, no, Brandon's never done that. He never thought about killing Becca. Come on. Neither have I, just for the record.
You haven't thought about killing Rebecca either?
No, she's so far away, Brandon. That's just not feasible.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. I feel like I'd get caught pretty instantly. I just went to Australia, killed one person, and was like, all right, I'm done. That's too much work, Brandon. I'm far too lazy for all that. I learned about the power of garbage disposals. Pretty crazy stuff.
They're a lot more effective than I thought. I might have to get one installed.
Oh, you don't have one? Neither do I, no. Brandon. It's the worst.
No, I would hate to have one.
Really? Like, how come?
Oh, I'm just so paranoid that I've seen Final Destination and I just want nothing to do with that.
Oh man, I want to rewatch all the Final Destinations because there's another one coming out soon. I think they started filming it. And I do love Final Destinations, how silly they are. They're great stuff. Brandon, let's come up with a better name. Okay, we got a couple of them that I think are very obvious. My first one, you know, Two for the Show, not a great name. I don't really get it. No. Two for the Road, though, like if you're talking road being a railway system, would have been perfect.
That's better. What about Strangers on a Train?
Is that a movie?
Yes.
I knew it. You want to know what I think this one is? It's called The Tale of Train Magic.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That sounds like like you hear that and you just think, oh, that sounds like a great episode.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It sounds like the best episode of any given show. Do you want to meet these people, Brandon? Should we meet the cast?
Who are these folk?
I don't know. Let me open them up on IMDb. We don't have too many of these actors and actresses and such.
No, it's pretty much three people in this episode.
I know. It's nice. I like little contained episodes, you know? So let's talk about our main character here. We got Andy, played by David Paymer. Do you recognize David Paymer from anything, Brandon? Have you seen this guy before?
Of course I do. This guy is just one of those people who's in things.
Right. Well, he started things off in 1978 with Grease live on Broadway.
That's awesome.
I know. Do you like Grease, Brandon? Is that like your favorite thing?
Meh.
Yeah, I feel meh about it. Don't tell my wife.
Yeah, same.
He was in Airplane 2, the sequel. I've never seen the first one, although I've seen clips of it, and it seems hilarious.
Okay, so what I know this guy from is a movie that I might be the only one who's ever seen it, but he was actually the lead in a movie called Carpool with Tom Arnold. Oh. And this movie played on cable pretty much 24/7, so I've seen it a lot of times.
You watch the weirdest movies, Brandon, you know that?
I know. There are always movies that no one else has ever seen, and there's just like one channel broadcast specifically to me as some kind of experiment.
Yeah, you're crazy. He was in Night of the Creeps. I've never seen it, but I really want to. He was also in Howard the Duck, so there's that. He was in 11 episodes of Cagney and Lacey from 1982 to 1988. City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. Oh, he was in Duckman. Do you remember Duckman?
With Jason Alexander. I do remember Duckman.
Mm-hmm. Two episodes of Ah, Real Monsters. The New Batman Adventures from 1998. Not so new anymore.
He's done a lot of voice acting from the looks of it, which I'm kind of surprised by because his voice is just kind of a voice.
Right. It's not anything to write home about, you know?
Yeah, his voice sucks. We can just say it.
Let's see. I'm trying to look and see if I recognize anything else. He was in Drag Me to Hell. I've seen that movie, as well as My Name is Earl. He was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine for an episode.
Sure.
Most recently, he was in something called Dave from 2020 to 2023. So there's that.
Good for him. He's still out there doing it.
Yeah, he's still working it. Next, Brandon, let's talk about Officer Fine, played by Vincent Spano. I think Officer Fine did a really great job in this episode. Very good actor. He was in VeggieTales, Brandon.
Did I know that? Of course I did. He played security guard number one.
He started things off in Search for Tomorrow. I think it must have been in 1979, but this show, I guess, has been on since 1951 to 1986. I don't really know. Okay. It must be a soap opera. Yeah, it must be. Let me see here. Anything I recognize? Mm-hmm. Nope. Not really.
Okay. I've heard of the movie Rumblefish, and he was in that.
Okay.
Then it's a whole bunch of shit I've never heard of.
In 1999, he was in something called Goosed. So there's that.
Okay.
The Prince and the Pauper, the movie. You don't say.
It's not the Mickey Mouse one. I don't care.
Right, exactly. He was in an episode of House. That's popular. Blue Bloods, I've heard of that. Most recently, in 2023, he was in Wonderwell, which is not Wonderwall, so what's the point?
All right, here's Wonderwell.
Next up, Brandon, Tracy Lords. She played Emma for a minute before she got strangled and stuff. And let's see what she's been in.
Okay, she's most famous for being in 2015's Shark and Saw Woman's Prison Massacre.
Oh, I've never heard of that. I got Shark it's on my and list Saw. Now.
That's
Shark and Saw.
It's just fun to say.
She was in like music videos back in the 80s. 1983, she started out with Harlequin Affair. I don't know what that is, but yeah, a lot of music videos. Sister Dearest, Sweet Little Things, Those Young Girls. A lot of music videos. Keep going. Okay, even more. Some more music videos, Brent. What?
These aren't music videos.
No.
They're porn. Oh.
Damn it. I knew you were going to say that. They're porn, aren't they? Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know IMDb had that stuff on there. I think this is the first one we come across.
None of them have thumbnails.
Oh, yeah. I see. Well, that's embarrassing. For me. For me. Not for Tracy. Maybe for Tracy, too. Who knows? Brandon, she was in the Tommyknockers. Did you ever watch the Tommyknockers?
I've never seen Tommyknockers, no. The name puts me off. It sounds so silly.
I don't think it's good. I mean, it has a 5.4 on IMDb. I've never heard anybody say anything good about it.
Okay.
She was in 4 episodes of Melrose Place, as well as 3 episodes of Roseanne.
She was in Serial Mom. I liked that movie.
Never heard of it.
Little John Waters.
Was that on the TV channel that you watched, Brandon?
Yep, it was on right after Carpool.
Okay.
And Hot to Trot with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Hot to Trot. Is that the one where he talks like a horse or whatever?
No, it's the one where there is a talking horse.
Oh, God. She was in I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. More recently, Brandon, 2020, Woman Behind Bars. She was also in Captain Daddy. Nicole, Her Ex and the Killer in 2022. Her final role right now was Waking Up Dead from 2022. So she's still, you know, kind of working on it here. But yeah, Shark and Sass, Woman's Prison Massacre. Oh, it's sharks, Brandon. It's sharks in Arkansas somehow. It's on Blu-ray. That's pretty cool. But that's our cast, Brandon. That was our 3 characters. Do you want to see what's next week?
I really do.
All right. Ooh, okay. Next week is season 5, episode, what are we on? 7? 7 of Tales from the Crypt? It's called House of Horror, Brandon.
Oh, that's maybe the most like on-the-nose title for a Tales from the Crypt episode?
Right. I wonder if it's going to be like a television terror kind of episode, you know?
That's a lot to live up to.
So let me read the summary here. It's written really shit. So 3 pledges for a fraternity on probation run by a soft-spoken leader and his 2 sidekicks are visited by a beautiful young sorority gal who's looking for a frat to pledge her own sorority, ends up tagging along with the...
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This is the run-honest sentence I've ever heard.
Yeah, I don't know who wrote this, but they didn't do a good job. Okay, runs along with the pledges to an abandoned house where an urban legend murder took place years before, period, finally.
Oh my God.
Led by the obnoxious pledge master, the trio of pledges must enter the house and pass each test given to them. The question is, will they survive?
Okay,
so well, it could be fun.
Terrible description aside, that sounds like an interesting episode.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe it'll be like a Saw-style house, you know, full of traps or something. That could be pretty fun. I don't really recognize... Oh, no, Will Wheaton's in this episode. So we got Will Wheaton.
Oh.
Do you know who Keith Coogan is?
Yeah, Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, okay. All right. Brandon, we have one of the DeLuise brothers, Brandon. We got Michael DeLuise, son of Dom DeLuise.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
That's one of the DeLuises. He's the guy from Encino Man.
Yes. Yep. It's the guy from Encino Man. It's not the guy from Wizards of Waverly Place, though.
Damn.
Do you know who Courtney Gaines is?
Nope.
Okay. Well, he plays frat boy because Courtney is a boy.
Oh, okay.
Brian Krause know who that is?
No.
Jason London?
Yeah.
How about Meredith Salinger?
Nope.
Okay.
So I know some of the people and I don't know some of the people. Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. We should be having a guest on next week too, Brandon.
Ooh.
I know, right? This should be a lot of fun. But that's next week, Brandon. You know, for now, I've been up all night. I'm gonna get going on to bed, Mir Brandon. I'm tired.
All right.
I'll talk with you next week for House of Horror, Brandon, where we'll see if this run-on sentence is actually what happens.
We can come up with a better description of this episode, I'm sure. Let's edit this IMDb page after we watch it.
Okay, let's do it, Brandon. All right, I'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You know what kind of schmuck I'm gonna look like?